Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
So far as unprecedented.
This fund is an emergency fund, and I keep giving this analogy. When your house is burning and someone comes, what you are looking for is, can you give me water so that we stop the fire? You don't say, please give me money to start rebuilding in the fire. And this fund is an emergency fund for us to say, can we stop the fire? There's no intervention in Ghana that has been done on this level. And I think it's very clear, and I think we've underplayed it and really underestimated it. And I think we're looking at it in a totally different light.
Chief Executive Officer of Vodafone Ghana, Patricia Obunnai, also noted that they are also committed to tailor-made solutions to help businesses rebound.
The competition is changing and introducing technology. And so we started having this discussion on sharing our experiences, our insights with our small enterprises. And I think the team have been fantastic with all the safety protocols. Sometimes just being on phone, calling customers, how do we support you and sharing the experience.
Patricia Obunnai is the Chief Executive Officer of Vodafone Ghana. And in our business journal for today, Lake Bosumtwe in the Ashanti region has been described as the biggest natural lake in the West African region and has offered a lot of employment opportunities to persons living in and around that area. But with new research by the Water Resources Commission on declining fish species, what will be the fate of the immediate communities? Lava Firm's Nanaya Ojima has more in today's business journal.
The name of this water is Lake Bosumtwe. We have 22 communities around this lake. The length of the lake is 20 kilometers, 14 miles. And the area of the lake is 16 kilometers, 10 miles. The deep is 78 meters, which is 234 feet down.
Prince Mensa is one of the teenagers who act as tour guides here. This beauty over the years is gradually losing its beauty and quality. Fish species were once numbering over 10, but had reduced significantly. Fortunately, Tilapia bosumana, an endemic fish species, is one of the few species left in the lake. Senior Basin Officer Abinadufie Redu Breman says enforcing bylaws on the lake is first step towards protecting it.
There's a day that is set up, like a free day that nobody is supposed to go fishing. But unfortunately, this law is not being adhered to. And communities are fishing every day in the lake. So there's a lot of pressure on the lake. The areas that the fish spawn or breed should be left untouched. People are fishing these small fingerlings. And people are also cutting the vegetation where the fish hide and spawn.
Vegetation cover along the lake is being cleared for planting cultivation. Huge acreage of land across 22 communities around Bosumtwe has been affected. Chemicals used on these farms are washed into the lake, destroying living organisms which are already exposed to excessive sunshine. Asante Hene Land Restoration Project is a joint intervention by the Menchia Palace and Ohineba Poku Foundation to reverse the trend. Coordinator Fred Chase Sapon speaks of an intervention to encourage responsible farming outside the lake's buffer zone.
We clear the land, we leave the bush to dry up and then decompose on the land so that we can cover wide surface area and then maintain the soil moisture. So we don't do seasonal planting, we can do all year around planting. And then make sure that we limit the use of agrochemicals.
Cessation of farming along the lake will be prioritized under the program. Asante Inland Restoration Project says it is relying on chiefs in affected communities to plant trees on illegal farms. Amekomhene Nana Edumensa Asare is chairman.
But the people have lived there over the years. That is where they have been farming. So to go and say that we need this portion of land for this purpose, you must appeal to the person's conscience.
Nana Ochima reporting.
And that's how we end the Joy Business Report at one. But before we go, let's take a look at our top stories. Manufacturing sector has been identified as the biggest beneficiary of more than 7 billion CDs support for enterprises by commercial banks. And also businesses have been taxed to look beyond government stimulus package and turning around their enterprises. My name is Amele Josu, and do have a good afternoon.
As we continue to fight COVID-19 together, Ecobank offers you several ways to stay home, stay safe, and take control of your finances. Use Ecobank Mobile whenever, wherever, with or without an Ecobank account to send money through SMS and email. Also buy airtime, pay bills, and much more from the comfort of your home. For high-value transactions, use our internet banking services. Ecobank QR code enables you to make cashless digital payments when paying for goods and services. Download the Ecobank Mobile today from the Google Play Store, App Store, or from our Facebook page. Additionally, dial the short code *770# from any phone and start transacting. Ecobank cares. Remember to observe social distancing, wash your hands frequently, and don't touch your face. For further assistance, kindly call Ecobank Contact Center on 3225 anytime, any day, toll free. Stay home, stay safe. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Morris, and I say keep on listening to Joy 99.7 FM.
For all your sports news in the locker room.
Hello, I'm Sarah Mulkerns, host of Sports World on the BBC World Service. For the very best of previews to the sporting weekend, listen to George Addo Jr. on the locker room on Joy 99.7 FM.
Hello, I'm Lee James, host of Sports World on the BBC World Service. For the best of previews to the sporting weekend, listen to George Addo Jr. on The Locker Room on Joy 99.7 FM.
Live on radio, live online, this is The Locker Room on Joy 99.7 FM with George Addo Jr.
Excitement fills the air with the wind of elite European club football blowing across. Football fans world over in unison and with one accord, welcome the UEFA Champions League tonight.
We'll be right back.
There's UEFA Champions League action, a live commentary on Joy 99.7 FM in 4 hours, with four last 16 ties to be concluded before the competition moves onto the Lowell final stages in Lisbon next week. It's been almost 5 months since Liverpool lost to Atletico Madrid and Paris Saint-Germain knocked out Borussia Dortmund on the last night of Champions League games before COVID-19 shut down football across the continent. It's now time to pick up from where we left off.
That's a good cross, and there's the goal. It is Lucas Toussaint. Played through. What a chance for Ronaldo. He's taken one now. Made that one look effortless.
There's a slip by Aspilicueta. Lewandowski pulls it back, and there's the goal, which is smashed in by Serge Gnabry. Loves scoring goals in London in the Champions League. The German international. The Chelsea mistake. Punished by Bayern.
The ball above everybody. The header's coming. Oh! The post. Rhys James has got equaliser for Chelsea. Has a double break. In the wildest dreams of any Chelsea fan. How did they count from 4-2 to 4-4 here at the Stamford Bridge?
Aguero in the penalty area tries to load the goalkeeper and succeeds. Superbly taken by Aguero as Manchester City lead by a 0-0.
Lovely dribble, Gnabry. He plays it into standing man. Koeman gets the first goal for Bayern Munich. All he needed to do was side foot that ball down to the right hand side of goalkeeper Gazzaniga. The red flags will go up again in the Allianz Arena. They lead by 1-0.
Callahan.
We already know that PSG will play RB Leipzig and Atletico Madrid will face Atlanta in the quarterfinals, with the games to come tonight and tomorrow deciding the lineup for the other last 8 ties. Also coming up,
Lewis Hamilton praying that the checkered flag comes as soon as is humanly possible. The gap between Hamilton and Verstappen going down all the time, 20 seconds at the moment. As down the hanger straight comes Lewis Hamilton, Verstappen just going through. You can see him in the background going through Chapel, through Stowe now with Lewis Hamilton. There. Well, they shouldn't catch him from there, but who knows how this race is going to end.
Can we win this?
If you get on with it, it's the right instruction through the Vale chicane. Look how difficult it was to stop. But for Lewis Hamilton, the checkered flag will come in the nick of time for a 7th British Grand Prix victory and a record 7th British Grand Prix victory for the most wins at home. It's Lewis Hamilton who takes the race.
When 21 cars lined up on the grid at the converted Second World War airfield in 1950, it marked the start of a championship that will grow exponentially, create heroes, and build a fan base of millions. Now, after 1,022 races at 71 circuits in 32 countries featuring 765 different drivers from Luanda's back where it all began, for the 70th anniversary Grand Prix, Silverstone will host a second of back-to-back races in Britain after last weekend's British Grand Prix at the same venue for the 5th round of the 2020 campaign. We preview the big occasion this weekend and ask if there's any way back for Ferrari this season. If you'd like to send us a message on the show, we'd love to read them via social media accounts. Joy/9907 on Facebook, 02443404437 on WhatsApp, at JoySportsGH on Twitter, and we'll give you the chance to phone in until end of the show on 0302-216-541. And we ask, which of the clubs left can win the UEFA Champions League this season? Time to talk about what the world is talking about in the world of sport. Hello from me, George Adley Jr., and welcome.
Live on radio, live online, this is The Locker Room with George Adley Jr.
Hello, this is the sound of Preview Friday. I'm George Adley Jr. and definitely time to get into our discussions for the afternoon. We're going to talk Formula One and we'll spend the rest of the time talking about the UEFA Champions League. On today's show, you have a great opportunity to call us and tell us what your expectations are ahead of the restart of the Champions League. So tonight we've got Real Madrid, up against Manchester City. And there is Juventus also up against Lyon on the other side. Updates for you plus live commentary here on Joy 99.7 FM. But now we have to do the Formula One talk, and guess who's joining me in the studio? Raymond Yamada is here, our in-house expert when we come to the Formula One action. Raymond, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, George.
Yeah, good. There's football to come from Raymond later on.
Apologies, your club is not part of the Champions League, but it's okay. I'm sure you can deal with it. I'm sure you can deal with it, of course, because your rivals are also not in as well. Like Liverpool are not in it, so I think you should be fine, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Generally, okay, all right. So let's talk about the Grand Prix Silverstone back-to-back races. We're back there again after all the drama we saw last weekend with Lewis Hamilton finishing on a punctured tie. I mean, you couldn't have believed that was going to happen. But again, you felt that Red Bull perhaps could have taken smarter decisions and would have given themselves a chance of probably winning that. Very, very quickly, just tell me what your impressions were that Grand Prix.
Well, it was quite interesting. And for me, I would have expected that Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas would have won that race. It was definitely going to be a 1-2 for Mercedes, but for the tire failures. Mm. And, you know, it was quite dramatic. And that was one of the races that saw two safety cars on.
Yeah.
We saw that Kiat crash. Mm. And we also saw Albon struggle. And so it was quite an eventful race. But the race itself looked like it was a foregone conclusion for Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton, yeah.
And so I don't think that Red Bull even felt that they were in it, because there was a point where, you know, Max Verstappen was even third. And so, you know, they wouldn't have thought that it was a race they were going to win. And you even, you know, think of the fact that they got Max Verstappen on softer tires to actually, you know, complete that fastest lap, you know, just to make sure they had more points. I don't think it was a race they knew they were going to win. And so, you know, what happened even at the end of that race, you know, certainly was something that they didn't even expect, they didn't anticipate. But he did well to close the gap, you know, on Lewis Hamilton. But Lewis Hamilton showed his experience, he showed his class, he showed his composure. And he won that race. It was quite eventful. But going into this weekend, I know you will take me to this
weekend. Yeah, going into this weekend, you know, it was good to see Charles Leclerc again now get on our podium here on the season. The season started, things are rolling. Valtteri Bottas will be, I don't know where he's going to place the fault, because he was gunning for second, and in the end, he ended P11. That's how dramatic things can be. And Charles Leclerc just stepped right in it. So it tells you sometimes that the teams have to take very, very good decisions as they go through it. You know, pitting wasn't just quite good for
them. Well, you know, this Silverstone circuit is very power sensitive, and it needs a lot of downforce. And that downforce definitely has an effect on the tyres as well. And you look at the fact that there were safety cars on the circuit, a lot of the drivers felt they could actually control the speed and, you know, just complete the race on one tyre, or, you know, just making one pit stop. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of them were overtaken by events because of how long, you know, the tyres had to be on the circuit. And so that affected Hamilton, that affected Bottas too along the way. And I think to a certain extent, Kiat's crash wasn't attributed to the tyres. I hear it was a technical fault that actually caused the rim to overheat, that actually caused that problem. And we saw a lot of tyre bursts on that day. And definitely because of the introduction of the safety cars and also the fact that most of the drivers didn't want to pit. But I'm not expecting that to happen this weekend.
Let's talk about this weekend then. It's the 70th anniversary. Everybody's excited. This is where Formula One started. It should definitely strike some nostalgia. Hey, don't matter how you look at it. Lewis Hamilton does very well at home. He's back there again after just one race. What are you expecting?
Well, George, interestingly, when the first race happened in 1950, it was Giuseppe Farina who won it with the Alfa Romeo chassis. And he actually won the fastest lap. He also won that race, and he also started from pole position. And so any driver who wants to actually win the 70th anniversary and should be hoping for, you know, he'll be hoping to actually win a lot of, you know, titles. Winning a lot of bonuses as well, so probably the fastest lap, probably starting from pole and winning the race itself. But I think that what we saw last weekend would repeat itself with regards to the tyre failures, because Pirelli have told us that they've taken the, you know, they've introduced softer tyres, they've taken it a step softer than what we saw last weekend, and so that's definitely not going to happen again. And I'm expecting that a lot of teams will manage their tyres very well. A lot of management will come in, because this circuit is very, very, very power sensitive.
You suspect there's going to be a lot of being cautious.
Yeah, a lot of teams being cautious. And I'm sure because of what happened last week, we might see teams, you know, actually adopt their two pit stops or probably three pit stops just to make sure, you know, they wear out the tyres as much as they can. They are safe when it comes to the tyres. And so I'm expecting a very competitive race this weekend. And George, if you look at the leaderboard, Lewis Hamilton has opened a 30-point lead, you know, over his closest rival, Valtteri Bottas. And we all know Lewis Hamilton. He knows how to consolidate points when it comes to winning championships. Yeah, and so
there's no way back for you already?
I think that there's no way back for anybody. And if you look at that, if you look at the drivers, you know, on the circuit this season, apart from Valtteri Bottas and Max Verstappen, it's very difficult to point out who could actually win races in this year's competition. Vettel is out there. I don't think that Vettel is interested in racing this season. I think that we've seen some brilliant performances from Lance Stroll, from Lando Norris and the likes. But I still think that if you are looking out for those who can win races, I don't think Charles Leclerc you know, has shown enough.
And again, that's, you made the point about Ferrari and that they feel, well, we probably lost out in all of this anyway. I mean, let's just see how the season goes, because, well, update upon update, and nothing is really changing for them. I mean, if Valtteri Bottas didn't make that, or if he didn't have that problem he had last weekend, it would have been Mercedes 1-2, and there will be Max Verstappen, you know, right there.
So, I think for Ferrari, they went for more downforce this season, and so it actually traded off their speed for a lot more downforce, and so it's actually affected them, because Ferrari, as we know, used to have the fastest chassis on the circuit, but this season they're not the fastest car, and that tells you, you know, going for the downforce has affected them to a certain extent. And coupled with the fact that you have two drivers who don't seem to get along, I'm tempted to believe those two drivers don't get along, Vettel and Charles Leclerc. And so Charles Leclerc is on the circuit doing what he can do, but he doesn't seem to get the support he would have needed from his wingman, Sebastian Vettel. And so it's really affected Ferrari, because we were expecting that this season they were actually going to, you know, step up to the plate and deliver. But it seems like Red Bull and McLaren and the likes are rather, you know, dominating the
pace.
It's
a strange season. Carlos Sainz knows that they are moving to Ferrari, and quite a number of drivers know where they're moving to. So, well, their allegiance even to your current, you know, company.
There has been a lot of talk about Sebastian Vettel moving to Racing Point. That would be Aston Martin next season.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of talk about that. I think they've delayed the announcement because of Sergio Perez's issue. And so I'm expecting Vettel to stay in Formula One next season and probably join in Racing Point, or Racing Point that will turn into Aston Martin. So for me, I think that this weekend's race will be exciting. I don't see the Ferrari drivers making it into the top three. I think that we are going to see Max Verstappen actually show that he can win races.
Right.
We are going to see Lewis Hamilton dominate this race. Valtteri Bottas definitely should bounce back stronger. And so whoever starts from pole definitely should be good value to win in this.
And you make the point. We're looking forward to the qualifying. That should be starting. I think I saw most of the guys getting ready. We're right in Birmingham, Silverstone in the United Kingdom. And yet we'll find out what happened. 70th anniversary of Formula One. It's a big occasion. Big occasion. And we'll see how it all goes. You're still here on the Locker Room on Joy 99.7 FM. It's now time to begin to switch things up. Let's talk some football now. And let's go for the Joy Sports BBC Two-Way Series. I had a great chat with the BBC's Rob Schofield. We touched on all the transfer rumours. Manchester United, Jadon Sancho, yes, Arsenal, Willian, what's happening out there? Plus, what should we expect from Fulham? Enjoy this. We're back with more. Thanks, Rob, for your time this weekend. Let's begin with the promoted Fulham, who secured an immediate return to the Premier League via Championship Player Final against Brentford. How good has Scott Parker's side been, and what should we expect from them?
Well, yes, George, I think Scott Parker deserves a lot of credit for the job he's done at Fulham. As you say, straight back up into the Premier League via the playoffs. And I think really, when you consider the surgery that was needed on this squad, really, Fulham were in a real state when they went down. And although Scott Parker's side have struggled slightly since the restart and dropped out of contention for automatic promotion, they got the job done through the playoffs. Beating Brentford at Wembley was so important for them. And in terms of what we can expect, I think what Scott Parker has foreshadowed this week is that the club has learned from the issues and the mistakes they made when going up into the Premier League last time. So Fulham won promotion from the second tier via the playoffs 2 years ago, but a very, very expensive recruitment drive saw them spend well over $120 million. They went down after only just one season. Many managers as well tried to keep them up. We saw Slavista Jokanović take Fulham up only to be given the boot. Claudio Ranieri, the Premier League winner, took charge, couldn't do the job, and Scott Parker, even as caretaker with a spell in charge, couldn't save Fulham from the drop. But they've stuck with him. He has got that team back playing under him, and I think the club will come up with a much more holistic and realistic view of their place in the Premier League. I don't expect them to be quite as gung-ho as they were last time. Scott Parker's got a much more controlled grip on how he wants this team to play. They're more possession-based. They are much more cautious than they were a couple of seasons back. But Fulham back in the Premier League, a team who've got good Premier League pedigree. We'll see what Scott Parker can achieve this time around.
The European Champions League returns this weekend, of course. There are four outstanding last 16 second legs to complete before the teams head to Lisbon. And we have live commentary here on Joy 99.7 FM. So let's start with tonight's games. Manchester City hosts Real Madrid. And remember, Man City are 2-1 up, while Lyon head to Juventus leading by a goal to nil. How do you see these ties going?
Well, starting with Manchester City, Real Madrid. City lead this one 2-1 from the first leg over 160 days ago. Now, it's crazy how long it's been, how long the Champions League has been paused on hold for. But City have these two crucial away goals, so defence is key for them. But only two clean sheets in 11 Champions League games, knockout games that is, would suggest that Guardiola has to have a plan here for Real Madrid, who look very different from the side that was sucker punched by City twice in February. They've taken 30 points from 30 to win La Liga after the restart. They look fit, united, hungry, and we must remember, of course, that Zinedine Zidane only wins this competition. The record 13-time winners of the Champions League look like a much fiercer prospect than they did 5 or so months ago. No Sergio Aguero for Manchester City, no Sergio Ramos for Real Madrid. Two big misses. I think this one is set up really intriguing in this second leg at the Etihad. As for Juventus-Lyon, well, Juventus' pursuit of the Champions League has become an obsession, hasn't it? Trying to end this 24-year wait. It's a need for them, not a want anymore. They've brought in Ronaldo. He's 35 years old now. They've built this squad around him. Maurizio Sarri's been brought in to try and play more aesthetically pleasing football. Well, they've won a ninth straight league title in Serie A, but only by a point, and they lost seven games to do it. They're not looking as convincing, in my opinion, Juventus, as they have in seasons gone by. Their unbreakable defence is suddenly looking slightly fallible. They've conceded 40 goals in Serie A this season, and they're scoring less as well. Four teams finished with more goals than them in Serie A this season. But of course, they do have a get-out-of-jail-free card, as it were, in the knockout stage of the Champions League in Cristiano Ronaldo. So Juventus come up against Lyon trailing by a goal to nil. Lyon are trying to kind of rescue a disappointing and quite acrimonious season. They missed out on European football with Ligue 1 being cancelled during the pandemic. Lyon go into this game having only played one competitive match since March. That was the French League Cup final. They played five at the back in preparation, I think, for this game. They lost to PSG on penalties, but defended pretty well. In terms of what they've got going for them in this tie, Memphis Depay, their captain, their match winner, back from a knee injury that kept him out of the first leg. He says they're not afraid of Juventus. They've got nothing to lose, and they will give it all, their all against Maurizio Sarri's side, I believe. The one thing, as I said, that may go against them, they may not be quite as match fit. So it could be a little bit attack versus defence between Juventus and Lyon in the final stages.
Rob, on Saturday, Bayern will look to finish the job against Chelsea with a 3-goal lead. But could Barcelona struggle against Napoli?
Yes, Barcelona. Well, this is a really sticky and tricky game for them. Quique Setien looks like he's just struggling to find real harmony with his team. But Lionel Messi on a mission to end a 5-year wait for this trophy. He is dictating the mood at the club, as well as most of their chances, naturally. Barcelona ended up second in La Liga. A run of 3 draws in 4 games cost them the title after the restart. They did win 4 of the last 5, but rarely really convinced. They only reached the quarterfinals of the Copa del Rey, so really their season hinges on this. They, of course, have Lionel Messi, and you can never overlook his ability to carry them to a one-off win. But really, in terms of how the club looks, they got injuries in defence with Samuel Umtiti and Clement Longley out. Suspensions in midfield. Sergio Busquets and Arturo Vidal will miss this game. And I think that will only make them even more reliant on Lionel Messi. The club is drifting. It's divided. The presidential elections are casting real clouds of doubt over Barcelona. They are struggling financially. President Bartomeu came out and ruled out the signings of Neymar and Lautaro Martinez because they just can't spend big, he says, for the next 4 or 5 years. They have an excessive, a heinous wage bill. They've lost well over $200 million during the pandemic. And I've even seen reports that their wage bill accounts for 83% of the club's turnover. They are really in a mess. And if this doesn't go their way, it could really spark some changes at the club. And Napoli are looking really good going into this. They've turned into a really efficient cup side under Gennaro Gattuso. They beat Lazio, Inter and Juventus to lift the Coppa Italia. And he's really turned the club around from player mutinies at the end of last year to trying to play for a first Champions League quarterfinal in their history. And when you look at how they finished the season, they just look so dangerous in one-off games. They've always got the weapons to hurt teams in Dries Mertens, Lorenzo Insigne and Jose Callejon. And although their defence looks slightly more precarious than it has in seasons gone by, Gattuso will be well up for this match. And I think Barcelona may well be relying on their 35-match Champions League unbeaten run at home that stretches back to 2013. Not many teams go to the Nou Camp and win in the Champions League, but rarely have Barcelona looked as fallible as they do now. This is a really interesting one, tied at one apiece. It could well come down to some Lionel Messi magic.
So, Rob, we know that the Champions League and the Europa League will look very different when they return for the quarterfinal stages. What can we expect?
Well, yes, so the Champions League will be completed in Lisbon in the quarterfinal stage, while the Europa League will head to four cities across Germany to play out the last eight. And this will operate in a bubble, as we've seen with numerous sports trying to get back going again during the pandemic. And it was so important for UEFA to try and navigate the sporting calendar and find a place for their high-profile tournaments. They have done. It will feel very much, I believe, like an international tournament, like a Euros or something like that, but it will be fantastically intense. All the best teams in Europe competing over a very short period of time, a few weeks, and we're going to see some really intriguing games. And what's most exciting, I think, about this is its one-off knockout competition. And I think it really gives some of the smaller teams a real chance. From what I'm hearing across Europe, some of the large, big, established European giants are really nervous about what a team like Atalanta, for example, could do in a one-off knockout tie. When you look at who they've got, PSG, for example, they've probably not got a better chance to win the Champions League than they have now. In a much easier side of the bracket, it must be said, when the quarterfinal draw was made. But when they come up against a team that scored over 90 goals in the Serie A season, they're unpredictable. No home advantage. It's been a long season. And PSG, especially when you consider in their circumstance, they've only played two games since March. And they're taking on a really dangerous Atalanta side, for example, who are well in their stride coming off finishing well in Serie A. For the Europa League, well, this one's set up for some big teams still involved, and a ticket, of course, into next season's Champions League, a huge motivation.
Rob, let's end with some transfer news. And how close are Manchester to signing Jadon Sancho from Borussia Dortmund?
Well, George, this looks like it's going to be the saga of the transfer window, doesn't it? Borussia Dortmund want a deal done by the 10th of August. That's Monday, so that they can try and get a replacement in. Manchester United are threatening to walk away if the price of well over $100 million is not reduced. This is standard negotiating, really. Nothing really new. Dortmund tried to put a bit of a deadline on it, but it must be said that coronavirus has had a financial impact, and both these clubs are very much not immune. In fact, they're two of the biggest losers in terms of gate receipts across Europe, when you just consider that Manchester United lost about $7 million on Wednesday in their behind-closed-doors game against the Austrian side LASK in the Europa League at Old Trafford. It really does put into perspective how much these clubs are losing money. The transfer deadline in Europe is the 5th of October. This could last until then quite easily, although Manchester United have been burnt in the past by not paying the fees that clubs want. Harry Maguire, for example, they chased all of last summer only to finally stump up the funds needed to prize him away from Leicester. Manchester United want England winger Jadon Sancho. Borussia Dortmund happy to sell, but only for the right price.
Arsenal as well are in the rumour mill. They appear to be settling on Chelsea's Willian. What more do we know, and how would he do at Arsenal?
Well, George, Willian to Arsenal makes sense, doesn't it? Willian is a proven Premier League player who, at 31 years old, still has a lot to give. He's a free agent, so Arsenal, who are pretty strapped for cash, are getting a well-established player who can bolster their front line. What may make slightly less sense is the length of the deal that I'm hearing reported. 3 years is quite a lot for a 31-year-old winger. But the ball is in Willian's court, and like David Luiz, who left Chelsea for Arsenal, this is what we're seeing more and more: players running down their contracts and then having all the negotiating power when trying to sign for a new club. The most important deal for Arsenal is unquestionably that for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who scored two goals in the semi-finals of the FA Cup and then scored two goals in the final against Chelsea to see them lift the trophy. Plenty of reports that things are getting close to also a three-year deal for Aubameyang, but this all comes with a cost, and Arsenal, we heard, are looking to make 55 staff redundancies because of the financial impact of the coronavirus pandemic. This doesn't sit all too well with fans, even though this is a difficult time during the COVID-19 crisis. You must remember that Arsenal are paying Mesut Ozil, for example, almost $400,000 a week, and he can't even get in the match day squad. They're looking to offer Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang $300,000 a week, but that is the key deal to secure the services of their star striker, their captain, their most important player. Mikel Arteta has said that he wants to build the squad around him. You feel like Arsenal could go either way, depending on whether they get the Aubameyang deal done, but this does all have a financial cost.
So the BBC's Rob Schofield there with the Joy Sports BBC Two-Way Series. It's now time to get into UEFA Champions League chat. And remember, tonight we've got live commentary for you. Manchester City up against Real Madrid. They lead by 2-1. And we'll have the second tie right in or at the Etihad. Let me remind you that we'll be activating our phone lines at 1:50, so you can get to call us and tell us what you're expecting tonight in the UEFA Champions League, and of course who you think will be winning overall. The number to call then will be 0302 216 541. So now time just to get into the action.
That's a good cross, and there's the goal. It is Lucas Toussaint.
Played through, what a chance for Ronaldo. He's taken one now, made that one look effortless.
There's a slip by Aspilicueta. Lewandowski pulls it back, and there's the goal, which is smashed in by Serge Gnabry. Loves scoring goals in London in the Champions League, the German international. The Chelsea mistake, punished by Bayern.
The ball above everybody, the header's coming! Oh! The post, Reece saves, has not equalised for Chelsea, has nothing for it. In the wildest dreams of any Chelsea fan, how did they count from 4-2 to 4? Here the Stamford Bridge.
Square in the penalty area, tries to load the goalkeeper and succeeds. Superbly taken by Aguero as Manchester City lead by a goal to nil.
Lovely dribble, Gnabry. He plays it into standing by Coman. Coman gets the first goal for Bayern Munich. All he needed to do was side foot that ball down to the right hand side of goalkeeper Gazzaniga. The red flags will go up again in the Allianz Arena. They lead by 1-0.
Messi takes over, Messi's shot, it is a magnificent goal, it's gone from one end of the field, scintillating stuff. Jose Callejon, Insigne scores, 30 seconds shy of 90 minutes, and Napoli have snatched the lead.
Our job is to find the two who will join the rest in the quarterfinals tonight and tomorrow. So live commentary here on Joy 99.7 FM. Raymond Yamadou and Riku Ampo for joining me in studio. And once you hear the anthem, you feel like a player. You feel like you're walking out of the tunnel right onto the last green pitch to do some action. Just what are you expecting? But before we do that, I want to get to you, Raymond, on what you love the most during the Joy UCL coverage. I'm sure you've been listening. You have been a part of it yourself. But when you were back and listening into, what do you love the most?
Well, the intriguing commentary, I mean, it's okay. Absolutely spot on. Vivid description of everything that's happening on the pitch.
So you like the description?
So for me, absolutely. Okay. I love the Joy Sports
commentary. That's what you love. Rukan Poffo, yes, you're part of the team as well. Which of the moments do you look forward to the most?
I always look forward to the
not so important match, because that's what I get to describe. So tonight, for instance, yes. Juventus versus Lyon, it is important, but yeah. you pitch it against that Real Madrid Man City game, the match at Etihad slightly edges it. So I'll be looking forward to that Juventus versus Lyon game, as I'll be bringing you detailed information on as it happens.
Ulrich Wampoffel there, I put this question up, and a lot of the fans were coming in and talking about the introduction. They like the way the show starts. So I just thought, can we remind you guys of the last time we were on air? That was Liverpool vs Atletico Madrid. You remember that game, right?
Yeah, it was dramatic.
This is how we started, just to give you a tease and whet your appetite for tonight's coverage. The six-time champions will want more, may demand more, because they maybe deserve more this season, aside the 30-year-old Premier League curse disappearing. The Rojo Blancos have not been themselves, but that's the requirement for an upset and a very welcome on their grounds. Liverpool are riding a wave back home. Atletico Madrid are paddling furiously to stay in contention for second spot, or even maybe in the top four. So we bubble towards the end of this engrossing Champions League campaign. You're welcome to join us on Joy 99.7 FM, our affiliates across the country, around the world at myjoyonline.com for a European night of genuinely big business. Hello, I'm George Adi Jr. Alongside me in commentary position, Gary Al Smith. And Gary, surely the route to the Champions League eminence is via round of 16 excellence, which begins tonight, surely.
You can't get to the final if you don't pass through the round of 16. You've got to be in it to win it, so says somebody called George Adu Jr. in our preview video. If you saw it on Facebook, yeah, it was there. And in between there, a giant Ghanaian flag will be furling. Well, not failing while he's playing on the pitch, but it will be making all of us proud. Thomas Partey is in there, number 5. And we, in your ear, in your car, in your room, in your office, are at number 1. And we are 99.7. I'm Gary Al Smith. Hello.
Hello to everybody, and it's good to have you back. And it's great to have you back, guys. Raymond Yamado, we have games to look forward to tonight. Manchester City have to deal with Real Madrid. They lead by 2-1. And what are your expectations of that game?
Well, George, if this game had been played in March, I think that Real Madrid would have lost this game. Mm. Because you look at what was happening to Real Madrid at the time. Between February and March, Real Madrid had hit a very bad run of form. You look at the 7 games they played before the COVID enforced break. They had lost as many as 4 games in all competitions. They had won just 2, and they had drawn 1 game. And you look at the way that defeat came in the game they played against Manchester City, you could actually tell that Zinedine Zidane was out of sorts a bit. He was clearly
figuring his side.
I think that post-COVID break, Real Madrid have found their mojo. And so we are going to see a different beast in Real Madrid in this particular game. This is a Real Madrid team that has played in the Champions League consistently. They've won it 13 times. They know how to play the Champions League. They know how to win titles. They know how to come back from defeats. They know how to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. That is this Real Madrid side. And I think there's anything to done. You look at his performances in the last 11 matches post-COVID. He's been able to win as many as 10 of them. There were times he had to grind out results just to make sure that Real Madrid were still in the running for the La Liga title. I think that Real Madrid is one of the teams that has benefited most from the COVID break, and you would see it reflect in the game they play against Manchester City. That notwithstanding, I think that Manchester City are a very decent side. They know how to possess the ball very well. They know how to create chances. They score a lot of goals. And so that also is a very good asset for them. But you look at the game itself, and it's going to be a matter of which team needs it most. And for me, I think that Pep Guardiola wants to make history in this Manchester City team, because for all the talk about Pep Guardiola being a top-notch coach, he hasn't been able to replicate his Barca form in the Champions League at Bayern Munich and at Manchester City. Perfect opportunity for him. He has one foot in the next round of the competition, and he would want his Manchester City team to actually go out there and play Real Madrid off the park. But George, it's going to be a very difficult game. The first goal definitely will decide the direction of this game, but I still think that Real Madrid may just have slightly too much for Manchester City to deal with. And I think that if Zinedine Zidane wants to get something out of this game, he may just be watching that FA Cup tie between Manchester City and Arsenal. He may again watch that game between Manchester City and Southampton. And possibly, I think that his solutions, and that game between Manchester City and Chelsea, maybe he might find solutions to this Manchester City attack in there. And I don't think Aguero will be featuring in this game. And so, up front, Manchester City will be relying on Gabriel Jesus to do the magic for them, Raheem Sterling to do the magic for them. Can Real Madrid play these boys out of the game?
Big one.
That's the biggest question of the night. And without Sergio Ramos, it's definitely going to be a tough one. It's going to be a very difficult one. But I
you're going for Real Madrid.
I think that Real Madrid may now, just edge this one.
Now, you know what? When you get on the phone line, when you get through via the number 0302216541, you have to make a choice between Zidane or Pep Guardiola in the Champions League. Tonight, the two meet. We just have to choose one. So, when you just arrive, let's know what you think. Pep to win the Champions League, or Pep to continue on the path of trying to win the Champions League, or Zidane to make it through. Let's hear from you on our WhatsApp. I mean, on our WhatsApp line 0244 340 437, and then you can call now on 0302 216 541. A real quick one, Paul. What do you think? Raymond is tilting, yeah, towards the Real Madrid side. What do you think?
I think, yes, as you rightly mentioned, it will be a very balanced side, not just on the pitch, but if you look at these two managers, and despite Guardiola winning one less Champions League than Zinedine Zidane, they are pretty dominant, both of them, when it comes to the knockout round. Zidane is still yet to lose a match in the knockout stages of the Champions League, and for Guardiola, he's won 28 knockout ties. So even though he might not be winning, he usually tends to go a bit far, and that's around the semi-final stage, and most probably go out after losing on away goals, or maybe losing that odd game. But both managers do find it very difficult to lose, especially in the Champions League knockout stage, which just makes it a very intriguing encounter to look forward to. But you just get that feeling that the two away goals might be what Manchester City can lay back on. You usually do need a little bit of a slack heading into such high octane games, and with the advantage being with Manchester City in terms of the goals, I would lay a little bit towards Pep Guardiola edging this one out. And that's because I think that the key man for Real Madrid, we speak a lot about how Real Madrid have been reborn after the coronavirus and forced lockdown, but one of the key figures in that reinforcement has been Sergio Ramos, and unfortunately he'll be missing the game tonight. And you look beyond the goals that he scored in the last 10 games of the La Liga, and it's just something about him. He doesn't know when to say no, and it just rubs off him towards the players. He's a good leader. He knows how to inspire. He never says never, and he's the type of player that you would need in your team when you're trying to come down from a 2-1 margin. So Zinedine Zidane would be losing a lot in that aspect. Now, defensively, I don't think Real Madrid have been that good, especially in the Champions League themselves. Even the Champions League campaign, if you do put it under the spotlight, it's not been a great campaign. Remember, they needed a win in the last match day to be able to qualify as the second place, losing against PSG 3-0, and then drawing 2-2 with PSG, and then 2-2 with Club Brugge as well. So they've conceded quite a number of goals. They've not really performed in the big games, and they're facing the Man City side, who, as Raymond said, this really is their last opportunity at anything big this season. And if they fail to go far in this Champions League, no one is going to remember them for the Europa League, and that's what will be on Pep Guardiola's mind and the players' mind. They know that it's time to win the Champions League, and that's what they'll be aiming for tonight.
So that's the first one to clear. We've got the Juventus up against Lyon. Could be tricky. Could be tricky.
Absolutely.
Lyon lead this by 1-0. Raymond, what are you expecting?
Another tough game, and I think that Juventus have created a lot of problems for themselves. And I say this because when the first leg tie was played, I think that if the return leg had been played at the right time, I'm sure Juventus would have had the upper hand in that game, because they were in some kind of form at the time. But you look at what they've done post-COVID, post the COVID break. They've played 14 games, they've drawn 3, they've lost 5, they've won 6. I think that you could say Juventus took their feet off the pedal a bit because they knew they had wrapped up the Scudetto. But that notwithstanding, look at their performances in their last 5 games. Clearly, they lost to Roma, they lost to Cagliari, they lost to Udinese. Any team watching this Juventus team knows where they can actually be beaten. You know, they are there for the taking any time you play against them. Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't really lived up to expectation in this Champions League. He scored just 2 goals for them. And so clearly, you can actually tell that Mauricio Sarri and his Juventus team are not the team to beat when you talk about the Champions League this season. That notwithstanding, I think that Lyon, for me, I think that their league was truncated very early on in the season. They were not even the best team in France at the time. Mm-hmm. And at the time the league was truncated, they were seventh in the league. And so it clearly tells you that Lyon had all sorts of problems. But in the Champions League, they were able to at least show, you know, a bit of consistency in the group stages and at this particular stage in the competition. I think that they have some decent players in there. Memphis Depay did not play in the first leg. He's back for them. He's got 5 goals already in the Champions League. And it's one of the players you would expect to do a lot of damage in this team. I think for Lyon, crucially, finding an away goal is what they'll be looking for in this game, because Juventus were not able to score an away goal when they last met. And so I think it's going to be a very difficult game, but Juventus are there for the taking. I don't think that the Juventus team we are seeing this season is the best Juventus team we've seen in recent Champions Leagues. I think that this team under Mauricio Sarri looks a bit flat. They look very ordinary. They don't look like they have that creative spark. They don't have anything to show for, you know, all the dominance they have on the ball. And so for me, I think that this is a game that could just, you know, end up in the hands of Lyon. Maybe Lyon may not win, and maybe Juventus may not win. I just see Lyon qualifying to the next.
Lyon qualifying to it. What do you make of this one? They've got Ronaldo in there. I don't know even if it's still a factor, but Juventus up against Lyon. Rick Kompoffo.
Another big fixture, but I think it's not straightforward for Juventus to reach their fourth straight quarterfinal stage in the Champions League. They might have to pull something out of their magic hat. And I say this because of how good Lyon themselves have been. And you could tell in their last week performance against PSG in that French Cup final, despite losing, they managed to take a team with Neymar, Icardi and Di Maria and Sarabia to extra time and to eventually penalties without them even scoring a single goal. So that tells you, arguably, that is the most informed attack in Europe. And if they're able to shut them out to just about 5 shots on target in 120 minutes, then this Juventus side, who have been flat in attack, shouldn't be so difficult for Lyon themselves. But as the Champions League, it comes with a different feeling. You do need experience to be able to see out your lead. Mm-hmm. But I think that Lyon just have something about them. And the coronavirus break has also helped them in a bit. Their man in form was Memphis Depay, who missed that first leg along with René Adelaide. And both of them are now fit and would be playing in that second leg. Remember, Lyon beat them without these two key players back in front. And it's a very good result, because you just need to score one. And now Juventus have to score 3. So even if you're losing 2-0, you can still score 1. And this is the Juventus side who have conceded 11 goals in their last 5 games. So you do see a goal in there for Lyon. And that means that Juventus would need to score 3 more goals to ensure that at least they are safe tonight. So it's a mountain to climb for Mauricio Sarri and Juventus. But Lyon do have the advantage. And it wouldn't be too far-fetched if I do put my money on Lyon. Mm. I think that they do have a fantastic lead, a very solid system of a 3-5-2 that they defend very well and they attack you as well. Juventus haven't been brilliant, especially at home, conceding goals. And if they do concede again tonight, I don't see this Juventus side scoring 3-plus goals. But they do have Ronaldo, and anything can happen in the Champions League knockout round once you do have Ronaldo.
Let's talk about tomorrow's game, and we've got just 2 minutes to do that. Of course, I'm Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Chelsea. Chelsea down by 3-0. We expect the result. There can only be a miracle in the odd result. Probably not to talk about that so much. And just in line with that, our commentary for tomorrow is Barcelona-Napoli. It's 1-1 between the two sides based on what Barcelona have done. Raymond, what are you expecting from Barcelona then?
Well, the disappointment of not winning the La Liga should motivate Barcelona to actually go out there and perform. I think that this would be Quique Setién's second Champions League game for Barcelona. I stand to be corrected. But I think that Napoli themselves haven't been exciting. Napoli, we saw them in the Italian Serie A. I think they finished 7th this season. They were very disappointing. And you look at Napoli travelling to Camp Nou. It's going to be a very difficult test for them. I don't think Gattuso
sure,
I think that there's a game Barcelona would dominate. Yeah, and they've also benefited from some rest a bit. So I'm expecting Lionel Messi and his boys to actually get a job done. I don't think that Napoli will pose any threats. I don't think that Napoli will cause problems for this Barcelona team.
Is it as simple as that, Rick Kompoffo? You've been looking closely at that Barcelona team and see them struggle sometimes, even in La Liga.
Yeah, I think Barcelona have struggled, and the main issue has been how well they defend, and they always tend to give away an opportunity to the opponent, and it's the is a big one, because Napoli themselves do have a very pacey front three that can trouble Barcelona's defense. And Setien might have to do a bit of a tinkering with his formation, especially because Vidal and Busquets might be absent. I read reports that he might be starting with 3-5-2, depending on whether Griezmann might be fit. If he is fit, then he reverts to a 4-3-3 system. So it's a handicap squad that he has. Dembele has returned to training, but fortunately he did not make the squad, and would be wishing that Barcelona go past this and go to Portugal so that he has a chance of playing. But it's still a game in the balance. 1-1, Barcelona do have that slight advantage of that away goal as well.
Right, let's see, we've got a few messages right now. This one has not been signed. It says, must have no controversy. Real Madrid, go finish Man City sharp. We've got another one there. It says, okay, Gary, mark my words. All right. You're expecting who to win? Let's see if we can pick that. Okay, you hear that break. Mark my words, Madrid will still through. So we got two Madrid fans coming through and predicting that, of course, Madrid are going through. Guys, let me say thank you very much. We'll hear from you shortly. We've got another message. Have you? Not quite, have we? Okay, so none of them is winning the Champions League. You mean Pep Guardiola or Zidane? Thank you very much, Raymond, as well, for joining us on the show. And remember that we're back with live commentary on Joy 99.7 FM. That's about it for our show. And as Kojomen, who's a Barcelona fan, is standing by, I'm sure he'll be hoping that somehow, Barcelona find a way through this. I'm very sure you're hopeful. You're hopeful, right?
I can only do
so. Come on, it's against Napoli. So some messy magic we'll just do, you know, tomorrow when we come in with that one. But of course, we're starting tonight. Our hashtag is JoyUCL. Do join us. And that's what have we got on the news then?
Joy Headline News at 2 with me, Ernest Tumi. The proprietor of the Bright Senior High School, Atikokoran Tumi, has been arrested after allegedly instigating students to vandalize school properties and attack invigilators. Eastern Regional Correspondent Kofi Sian reports the headmaster was about to address the press when he was picked up.
He was about to speak to the media, but just as he was coming down from his office, we saw some police officers in a vehicle, and they arrested him and took him.